Brother Kennedy will be speaking to us on the theme, Be Courageous and Trust in Jehovah. Let's pay some attention to Brother.
So you've probably seen an adventure film where the hero is having to escape from all through all kinds of obstacles and probably being chased by a crocodile or a snake or something like that. And he comes to a gorge, a precipice. It's maybe 100 meters across. And the hero looks down. It's a sheer rock face with a raging river at the bottom. We'll have our first photo there. On the other side of the gorge is safety. But the only way across is an old rope bridge like this one. This is in Peru. It's made out of grass, this bridge. And what about our hero? Here he is to escape. He has to cross this bridge. Can he trust it? It's made out of grass and it's old. Does he have the courage to get onto it? Well, brothers and sisters, we have to cross a bridge something like this. Why? Well, we have to cross Satan's system, his deadly system, and get to the new system on the other side. And like our hero, we need courage. We need courage to face our fears, to get on this bridge, and we have to trust the maker of that bridge so that we can have the confidence that it will hold us, it will get us to the other side. Thank you for the photo there, brother. For us, what is our bridge? What is the bridge that we need to cross? Well, it is our Christian way of life. It is the only way we can get across the deadly gorge of Satan's system. And like our hero, we have to have the assured reliance. We have to trust Jehovah, the maker of that bridge. We have to trust him that the Christian way of life is the only way that we can get into paradise on the other side. We have to be strong. We have to be daring and bold and valiant. We have to be courageous to be a Christian. And that's nothing new. From the beginning of human history, God's people have had to demonstrate trust and courage. We'll just review a few accounts. The Bible is full of them, but we'll just look at a couple of them, the ones that we're familiar with. God's word in this way can encourage us to have trust in Jehovah. And one example is during the pre-flood world. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 makes reference to this. Peter was writing about it, and he was talking about Noah. And we'll talk a little bit about Noah in our Watchtower study that follows the talk. But we can think of Noah in chapter 2 and verse 5. It says there, of 2 Peter, and he, speaking of God, did not refrain from punishing an ancient world. All those people living at Noah's time who did not follow Jehovah, did not serve him. He says, but kept Noah a preacher of righteousness, safe with seven others when he brought a flood upon a world of ungodly people. And we can think of Noah's situation. Here, Jehovah instructed him to build this great big boat. Nobody had had a boat before. This one had to be a floating zoo. We can have a picture, the second picture up, please, brother. And it took a lot of courage to build that, but more importantly, all the mockery and the opposition that he had to endure. And it's interesting, in 2 Peter, it referred to him not as a boat builder, but as a preacher of righteousness. So evidently, Noah witnessed to these ones, told them of the coming flood, and encouraged them to turn to Jehovah and take refuge. Noah and his family needed courage to face those ridiculers, and they had to trust Jehovah that Jehovah's boat building design was good and that he would make sure that that floating zoo would endure through the coming trials. So thank you for the photo, brother. Yes, Noah and his family needed trust in Jehovah, and that gave them the courage to continue. A second example is the account of King David. Before he was a king, he was just a shepherd boy. We can think of the time when he was on the low plain of Elah. There, the Philistine forces were on one side and Israel's army was on the other side. And out comes this man, 9.5 feet tall, Goliath. His armor weighed 125 pounds. David's courage to walk out and face him in the middle of the plains there was unquestioned. But what gave David the courage to do that? Well, he trusted in Jehovah. He trusted that Jehovah would guide that sling stone to its mark. It was a little bit off. It could have bounced off of Goliath's helmet, and David would have been in big trouble. But no, he trusted that Jehovah would see him delivered in this case. And that gave him the courage. But later in David's life, we know that King Saul pursued him. He was in the wilderness of Judea, and Saul and his army were chasing him down with his men. On two occasions, David could have solved the problems, done away with Saul. But no, he didn't trust in his own resources here. He didn't try and solve his problems his way. When he had those opportunity, he trusted in Jehovah. He did not act against Jehovah's anointed, and he waited for Jehovah to deliver him. And that gave him the courage to continue. Another biblical account of trust and courage was Daniel. We know he wound up in a pit full of hungry lions. Why? Because he trusted in Jehovah. He had the courage to continue to worship Jehovah in spite of any edict that the authorities would have posted. So in these three accounts, and in many others, Jehovah blessed their courageous stand against these threats. These situations really appeared to be overwhelming. They were actually suicidal. Under normal circumstances, in all three cases, they would have not survived. But they trusted Jehovah to deliver them, and that gave them the courage to continue. The superlative example of trust and courage is, of course, Christ Jesus. We can look at one account in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, where Jesus had to face down none other than Satan the devil. So Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. After being tests put before him, how did Jesus react? We have to remember that Jesus was a human, flesh and blood perfect, yes, but flesh and blood facing one of the most powerful angels that existed. What was his reaction? Verse 10, he says, and Jesus said to him, "Go away, Satan, for it is written, it is Jehovah your God you must worship, and it is to him alone you must render sacred service." Yes, Jesus rebuked Satan himself. He didn't cower before Satan or his agents, those that were working in harmony with Satan under his influence. He courageously rejected the devil. He denounced the Pharisees, and he always honored his father Jehovah. So his example encourages us. But he also encouraged us by his spoken word. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, he spoke to his apostles and by extension to us. That's why it was recorded in the Bible, in the gospel. In John chapter 16 and verse 33. And if we see in verse 32, he's speaking about his coming execution, really. He says his hour is coming. So he knows that he's going to die soon. And yet he says in verse 33, "I have said these things to you so that by means of me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Jesus had conquered. He had the courage, and he wanted his disciples to have that same courage, the trust that gave him that courage to continue in face of these trials. Well, back to our adventure film. We think of our hero there looking at this bridge, and he sees those ropes. They're 100 meters long. They're made of grass, and they're old, and they're not very well tied down. His imagination could find all sorts of weaknesses. This could cause him to doubt. That's fleshly thinking, isn't it? What would help him have the courage and trust in that rope bridge to get across? Well, the same thing that will help us. If we personally knew who built that bridge, would it make us feel better? We'll have our third photo, please. What if the builder of our bridge had built the world's longest suspension bridge? This is the Akashi Keikyo Bridge in Japan. It connects the island of Awaji with the city of Kobe. It's almost 4 kilometers long, and the distance between those two upright columns that support it is almost 2 kilometers, 1,991 meters between those two columns. If the builder of this bridge had built our rope bridge, would we have confidence? Thank you for the image, brother. Well, the builder of our bridge is Jehovah. He has the one who has set out what a Christian's life should be. And we have numerous examples of bridges that he's built. One that we can think of is the example of Moses. There he was leading the nation out of Egypt. He wound up caught between the Red Sea and a mountain chain and Pharaoh's army thundering down against him. If there was ever a time the Israelites needed a bridge, it was then. Well, we know how Jehovah solved the problem. He provided a means of escape. He provided what they needed. It was probably not what they expected, but he provided what they needed. And Moses, and no doubt the nation, learned to be courageous and trust in Jehovah through that experience. Note Moses' comments at Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. He composed this psalm, or this song that we find at Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll just read verse 4, but the whole chapter is singing praise to Jehovah for his deliverance. In verse 4 of Deuteronomy 32, it says, "The rock," referring to Jehovah, "perfect is his activity." Yes, the bridges Jehovah builds are perfect. "For all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness, who is never unjust. Righteous and upright is he." Moses had confidence in Jehovah. He could trust in Jehovah. And his example can encourage us as well to have a similar confidence in Jehovah. Another bridge that Jehovah has built spans a canyon wider than the 16-kilometer width of the Grand Canyon in Arizona. This bridge spans from man's sinfulness and imperfection to perfection in paradise. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 and see how Jehovah has achieved this. These are Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. It says there, these are his words, Jesus' words, "Just as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom in exchange for many." Yes, the ransom is a bridge that can get all mankind who turn to Jehovah, who repent of their sins, can get all mankind across this gorge of Satan's system and into the new system, into the new world. We can think of Manasseh. We spoke about him in our congregation Bible study not too long ago. The sins that he committed are just atrocious. executing his own sons. His sins piled up. They were really heavy. And yet the ransom can carry all of Manasseh's sins because he turned to Jehovah and repented. We know the change he made. The Apostle Paul, there he went around hunting down Jehovah's servants, his disciples, and executing them. Yet he turned and he served Jehovah. The ransom can carry Paul. If it can carry those men, it can carry us. In the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, he provided an assurance that our hopes will not end up in disappointment. The ransom and the resurrection of Christ Jesus is a guarantee from Jehovah that he cares for his servants and will not forget them. So knowing how he has already delivered his servants by his powerful works, this can give us the trust that we need to be able to do the same. And that trust can give us the courage to continue on our bridge. So our hero in the adventure film, we said he maybe has crocodiles or snakes chasing him, but that's nothing compared to us. We'll have our fourth photo, please. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, speaks of the one that is pursuing us. And we see the illustration here. So Revelation chapter 12, and in verse 17, it speaks of the dragon. So the dragon became enraged at the woman and went off to wage war with the remaining ones of her offspring. And we see here seven heads all trying to do away with those who are following Christ Jesus, who are trying to uphold Jehovah's sovereignty. Who is this? Well, in verse 9, it clearly says, so the great dragon was hurled. So down the great dragon was hurled, the original serpent and the one called devil and Satan, who is misleading the entire inhabited earth. Yes, Satan, the devil, and his cronies, his minions, they are certainly opposing Jehovah's organization. As it said in verse 17, the principal object of their enmity is the woman, but he does not have access to this one. So it says he went off to wage war with the remaining ones of her offspring. And who are they? They are the ones who are observing the commandments of God and have the work of bearing witness concerning Jesus. So primarily the anointed are the ones, but any that support Jehovah's sovereignty are the subject of Satan's interest, of his attacks. Satan tries to thwart anything that advances the messianic kingdom. Our brothers and sisters around the world need to have faith and courage to be able to cope. And we know the situation. We get regular reports on the tests that our brothers in Russia and other lands are experiencing because of their support for Jehovah's kingdom. So how can we endure the pressure from this fire-breathing dragon? We need to courageously trust in Jehovah and the bridge that he has provided. The ropes of that bridge are fireproof. Satan cannot destroy it. He has tried multiple times, but we know that he cannot. We can think of the Apostle Paul, for example. Numerous times he experienced Satan's wrath. He tried to shake Paul on that bridge so that he would stop progressing. It's interesting, in 2 Corinthians, Paul made some interesting comments. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 8, he makes reference to one experience of his. He said, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the tribulation we experienced in the province of Asia. Well, it's thought that he's making reference to a time when he was in Ephesus, and there was a mob that gathered and shouted for 2 hours in this theater. And how did Paul feel about it? It says we were under extreme pressure beyond our own strength. He recognized that he could not survive the situation. He said, so that we were very uncertain even of our lives. In fact, he says, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. So he figured it was game over. They were not going to get out of this situation. But he still trusted in Jehovah. Satan was trying to shake Paul's bridge so that Paul would panic and either fall off or freeze or run back. But no, it's interesting here, Paul's conclusion on this matter after the fact. He says in the middle of verse 9, he says, so this was so that we would trust not in ourselves, but in the God who raises up the dead. He continues, he says, from such a great risk of death, he did rescue us and will rescue us. And our hope is in him that he will also continue to rescue us. So from that experience, Paul's faith and trust in Jehovah was reinforced, that he saw Jehovah's hand. He was delivered. He had the trust and courage to continue on his bridge in spite of Satan's attacks. Later on, Paul experienced more trials from Satan. He makes reference to this in Philippians. We find in Philippians chapter 1 that Paul now is in prison in Rome, far from where he was familiar, far from many of his friends. But how does this turn out? Paul, in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 13, he says, so that my prison bonds for the sake of Christ have become public knowledge among all of the Praetorian Guard and all the rest. Satan tries to stop Paul on his bridge, but instead, it turns out as a witness. How else would the elite guard of the Roman Empire get a witness? No one would have an opportunity to speak to them. But here Paul has this perfect territory, virgin territory to witness to. And so he takes advantage of it. He turns it to the good. Jehovah opens this door for him. But it didn't stop there. Notice in verse 14 what Paul says. He says, now most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence because of my prison bonds. So the other brothers in Rome around him were encouraged by Paul's example, by Paul's opportunities to speak. And it says, it continues to say, they are showing all the more courage to speak the word of God fearlessly. Yes, others were encouraged by Paul's example, by his courage and trust. Others were encouraged to declare the good news of God. So what do we learn from this experience of Paul? Well, we need to have unshakable trust, not in our own smarts or our own strength, but in the means of power that comes from God. This requires complete reliance on Jehovah's word. And thirdly, we need to have confidence that his spirit is with us and his organization. And we spoke about that yesterday in our day text, didn't we? That will give us the courage to keep on declaring the kingdom good news. We have to keep in mind the big picture. It's not about us. It's about Jehovah's sovereignty. Our problems are not because of anything that we have done. No, Matthew 10, we have Jesus' words at Matthew 10, verse 22. It shows us really what this is about. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. It says, and you will be hated by all people on account of my name. Yes, it's because of we're supporting Christ Jesus and Jehovah's kingdom that we are receiving Satan's attention and having problems. But Jesus continues to encourage us by saying, but the one who has endured to the end will be saved. So we know that if we continue, if we have the trust, we will continue to serve and see our way across our bridge. How are we to respond to the problems that we experience? Well, we don't retaliate. It's interesting, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul wrote and encouraged the Christians at his time in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage warfare according to what we are in the flesh." No, our conflict isn't fleshly. We're not out campaigning, demonstrating. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful by God." How? It says that they are able to overturn strongly entrenched things. "For we are overturning reasonings and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are bringing every thought into captivity to make it obedient to Christ." There is no army on earth that can accomplish that, to change the way people think and feel about serving Jehovah. But we can, with Jehovah's blessing and direction. We are well across our bridge. We're almost on the other side. We can almost touch the new system. We don't want to look back at that fire-breathing dragon behind us. There he is with fire and explosions and smoke, all kinds of pyrotechnics. It's very impressive. But he can't hurt us seriously. We have to remember the principle at Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Proverbs 29 and verse 25, it says, "Trembling at men is a snare." Or we can say, "Trembling at dragons is a snare. But the one trusting in Jehovah will be protected." Yes, we have to have trust in Jehovah and in the bridge that he has provided us. We'll have our final photo. It may have been some time since we courageously got on our Christian bridge. We're now well across. Can you see yourself on that bridge, almost to the other side? We don't want to look down into the gorge of Satan's system. The fear of heights can terrorize someone, can immobilize us. And if we stop advancing, well, that's what Satan wants. He doesn't want us to reach the other side. He's trying to discourage us, stop us from moving ahead. The best thing we can do is keep focused on the goal, the new system on the other side. As well, we want to consider others on their bridges beside us. Just imagine this gorge lined with bridges like this, and others trying to find their way across. Their progress will encourage us. 8.5 million trying to move across their bridges to safety in the new system. We need to hang on to the two ropes with both hands. We need to hang on to, with our right hand, to our meetings. And with our left hand, we need to hang on to personal study and family worship. We can't hang on if our hands are full of material things. Imagine trying to carry a four-wheeler across this rope bridge. No, we need to hang on to what Jehovah provides us to steady us. So let us do our utmost to share in completing the work of giving a worldwide witness. Now is the time to prove our faith and be courageous, not fearing man. If we trust in Jehovah, we can be courageous right down to the end of this system. We will soon be on the other side in paradise.
We thank you very much, Brother Kennedy, for a very encouraging talk to be courageous and trust in Jehovah. We certainly enjoyed, and we thank you very much for Lancy Cooney to do that for us.
Well, it's so nice to see all of you, brothers.